Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2013. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
May her powerful intercession bring you a happy and prosperous new year.
Karma Yoga really is about always striving in everything that you do every day to be of service to others. And it has now brought me to this place here to do it as a member of Congress.
Holy Spirit, will you come down and hover over this dome and over the city and over our lives. Come and descend on us with the cloud of the very presence and glory of God.
Louis Giglio has made a concerted effort to include and feature on the stage at Passion 2013 some people who are theologically dubious at best.
Florida truck drivers, love issues, etc.
There are some headlines you can't make up. You try and make up something that sounds implausible, and then here it is, you read one. Kansas sperm donor ordered to pay child support, and he prepares to battle. Here, a Kansas man who's a sperm donor helped a lesbian couple conceive, plans to fight in court because he is being required by the Kansas Department for Children and Families to pay child support for this child, and he had, as part of the deal, relinquished financial responsibility. You can't make this stuff up. But what do you do with this? Is the Kansas DCF right to say, you're the biological father, you need to take responsibility? And of course, complicating this is the fact that Kansas doesn't recognize same-sex marriage. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 8th of January. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will help us sort out this very difficult headline for the first few minutes of this hour. Then Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. Baptism of Jesus is the subject, Luke chapter 3. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is a regular guest, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Here's the question I have, many. But the first one is the Kansas Department for Children and Families right in saying to this Kansas man, you're the biological father, you have financial responsibility to pay child support for this child you helped conceive?
Well, you know, as you guys say, I have issues. I mean, I have so many issues with this whole thing. And I think for the state of Kansas to say, you are the biological father, you pay child support, that would be fine if they at the same time would say, you are the biological father, therefore you have the right to be a father to this child. You have a right and responsibility to be a father to this child. If they were saying all those things at the same time, they would be completely right. That's what they should say. But the fact is, Todd, that it's only because states like Kansas and other states around the country permit sperm donation, the practice of sperm donation, and allow people to use the legal system to separate children from their parents in this way. The state has allowed this to happen. And so for them to now turn around and say, by the way, we don't care about this child. What we care about is getting reimbursed for the money that we've spent taking care of this child now that the mother of the child is on welfare. It's completely hypocritical for the state of Kansas to do that. And I think this is a good opportunity for legislators in the state of Kansas to revisit this whole question of whether separating children from their parents through anonymous or even known gamete donation like this is something that the state should be involved in. I think that there's so many appalling things about this story, it's hard to know where to begin.
Okay, so some more details here. Each one of the lesbian quote-unquote parents, and we'll talk a little bit about that term in a minute, individually filed to adopt the child, And, of course, that their union is not recognized in any formal way by the state of Kansas. Complicating matters is that the sperm donation was originally solicited online on Craigslist, and an attendant story says this is becoming more and more common. If you want a sperm donor, go to Craigslist. How do you sort all this out?
This is the appalling thing right there. I mean, right there is the problem, okay? When the way Almighty God created our bodies, a man and a woman are supposed to come together in an act of love to produce a new human being. This is the way God wants the human species to continue as a participation in his divine love and in his divine creative power. That is what is imprinted into our bodies. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we need to do. That's what we want to do. And what we're doing now, Todd, as a result of the sexual revolution and all of its fruits, is that we are in full-on retreat from human relationship between a man and a woman in order to create that child. So going online to buy sperm from a stranger is about as far as you can possibly get from the participation in divine love and divine creation. The fact that these two women want to have sex with each other has no bearing whatsoever on whether this should be permitted or not. You know, buying sperm on Craigslist should be abolished. Buying sperm at all should be abolished. And furthermore, these people should be in jail, I'm afraid. I mean, you know, honestly, I just can't even imagine where people think this is going to lead, you know, because the child is no longer a gift from God and a fruit of human love participating in God's love. The child is now a product of manufactured by adults, and therefore the child cannot be fully the equal of its parent. The object cannot be the equal of its producer or its maker, you know. And so the further we go down this path, the further away we are going from the true ideal of equality before God, of equality before one another, of treating one another with dignity, and the child becomes a kind of chattel. So the legal complications and the sort of ick factor of all of this, it's important to sort all that out and look at it, but let's not take our eye off that ball, which is that we have defaced the creator's plan and intention here by this behavior. And so there's a part of it that it doesn't matter whether this is two women doing it or a man and or a woman and an infertile man or you know, in a certain way none of that actually matters. It's the separation of the procreative process from the human body and from the sexual act. That is what the core wrong is here.
A couple other things I want to ask you about. Oddly enough, the child's birth certificate lists no father.
Yep.
I don't know how that actually happens or what the state thinks it's doing there.
Yep.
But it raises that question I mentioned before, whether it is same-sex adoption that's part of this or it's sperm donation, online transactions leading up to it. The word parent doesn't seem to mean, well, if it, I don't know if it means something new or something old or nothing at all.
Right. And you know what? I haven't seen in any of these stories. By the way, I wrote about this in the Ruth Institute Facebook page, and so people can go and like the Ruth Institute Facebook page to kind of follow me along on this as more of the story unfolds. But I saw the first story that said that the woman who gave birth to the baby was listed as the mother on the birth certificate, and there was no other parent listed. And so that's quite proper. She did, in fact, give birth to the baby. She is the mother. But you see, the whole issue of sperm donation means that the state does not recognize a legal father. And, you know, what's the proper solution here? Put the other woman on the birth certificate? Have no father at all? That's what they're doing here, is having no father at all. So they've really gotten themselves into they've painted themselves into a corner here. And the other issue is that if you were to do an adoption, if you have two adoptive parents, and some states recognize two women as an adoptive parent or a man and a woman as an adoptive parent, but the point is if the other sex partner wanted to adopt this baby, the mother would have had to explicitly agree to that, and there would be a whole body of procedures and procedural safeguards and so on that they would have to go through to make it clear that, yes, indeed, I really, truly want this person to be the adoptive parent of my child. Well, that's a big step to go through. And the advocates for the redefinition of marriage, or creating genderless marriage, or removing gender from all these categories of marriage and parenthood, the advocates of that position never want to think too hard, and never want to talk about the fact that, for a mother to allow another woman to be the legal parent of her child is really asking a lot of a mother, of a woman. And it doesn't matter if the woman is same-sex attracted or not same-sex attracted. It doesn't matter if the other woman is someone you love or don't love. It's asking a lot. And when push comes to shove, a lot of women hesitate to do that step. And so a lot of the disputed custody cases, like this one's going to turn into, a lot of those cases hinge on exactly that fact, that they could not bring themselves to do the legal paperwork involved in making this person a legal parent. And it would just be so much better if everybody really said, by golly, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to sign on the line, and we're going to be clear about it. People are refusing to be clear about it because it spoils their image of themselves that they're trying to create, the image of a two-woman couple being identical with a man-woman couple. They are not identical. They are not similarly situated. The second woman is not as invested biologically as the father would be, and so it's appropriate that the law treat it differently. So that may be a long-winded answer to what you really wanted to know, but I think your intuition here is just right, Todd, that we've gotten ourselves into a huge mess by taking these steps down the road from away from man-woman procreation in the image and likeness of God.
Jennifer, can we keep you for a few minutes on the other side of the break?
Well, we can try.
All right, we'll do that. When we come back, a few more minutes with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute. We're talking about sperm donors being ordered to give child support. If this demonstrates one thing, and we'll talk about this when we come back, it does demonstrate that in these strangest of cases, scenarios, at the very least, the state does have an interest in natural marriage. It does work best. We'll be right back. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 8th of January. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest for the next few minutes, talking about a sperm donor being ordered to give child support in the state of Kansas. I look at this story and it says to me, Jennifer, if nothing else, it says that the state does have an interest in preserving man-woman marriage, it works best, and while it leads to its own complications, nothing like this. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's certainly true, that the state has an interest in working with the natural order of man-woman marriage, that a man and a woman come together to produce a child. That's the natural order of things, and it's easiest, simplest, and most wholesome to work with that natural order and preserve it. And what we have in this case is the state, in the first instance, acting like its job is to let people have whatever they want. So if two ladies want to have a baby and they don't want to be bothered with a man, you know how men are so pesky and irritating and so on, if they want to do that, well, okay, we're going to do whatever we can to let them do that. So we'll make it possible for them to use somebody's sperm, and we'll cut that person out of their lives, both financially and in terms of visitation. We, the state, will make that man the legal stranger to that child, because our job is to let people have what they want, and this is what these two ladies want, so hey, whatever. You know, that's basically state's attitude, whatever. Well, now, one of these ladies, the child's mom is on welfare, the relationship is broken up, the lady's on welfare, and she's asking for money from the state, and so now the state all of a sudden is interested in this man, and the state is interested only in the man paying support, not to the child, not to the mother, but to them, to reimburse them for their cost, for their expenses, because the state already has this blanket obligation to pay support to mothers and children and so on. And so what the state does is has a program. Most people don't realize this, but many states have a policy of going after the biological father to get them to pay child support. They seemingly have no interest in keeping the father with the child or with the mother. They think is not their interest. But when the money is starting to come out of the state's pockets, oh, now by all means we must go find the father. And so the state is really pursuing its own interest here. People should understand that little child of these two women is not going to see one single dime more. That child is not going to receive any further support from their father, from his father. That is not what's going to happen. The money is going to come from the father and go right into the state's coffers to reimburse the state. So how convoluted and crazy is that, I ask you? You know, if you could just keep the mom and dad together in the first instance and keep the state out of the picture, everybody would be better off. But nobody seems to think of that, right? It just retrogrades like you and me, Todd, who think that the mother and father should get married and stay married.
Folks, you can stay informed on social, moral, and cultural issues this year by checking out the website and the blog for the Ruth Institute. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, thank you again.
Thanks, Todd.